If you will turn in the Gospel of John tonight to chapter number 14, please. John chapter number 14. And I will give you the verses in just a minute or two. I want to say some things before I read the text. The Lord is in John 14, well, in John 13 as well, and John 15, and John 16, and if you count the prayer, John 17, giving his last discourse, his last message to his disciples prior to the cross of Calvary. It is often called the upper room discourse of our Savior. He tells them, again, they have not been understanding it, I'm going away. I think he's sort of homesick to get back to be with his Father. The cross is looming right in front of him, but he doesn't mention that. He didn't say, I'm going to die. He said, I'm going away. I'm going home. And when the disciples learned of his soon departure, their hearts were grieved. They were saddened. He had to even say, it's expedient for you. It's better for you that I go away. But they still didn't understand it. They had walked with him for 3.5 years, followed his every step, heard his every sermon, watched every miracle he enacted, and they're going to miss their leader, their Savior, and their Lord. The strategy, for lack of a better word, the psychology, our Lord's goal in this upper room sermon, the longest sermon of his we have on record, in one secluded place, is to say something to encourage these men to keep on serving the Lord and to stay faithful for the glory of God. He's going away. They will not see him again. Of course, the resurrection will come after the crucifixion. They'll see him in some selected appearances, but he's going to heaven. Been there 2,000 years now. I'm going away. How is the Lord going to encourage these disciples? I just can't wait to figure out what plan he will use to try to incite them, to motivate them, to impel them to keep on working and keep on serving until the Lord calls them home or until he comes back to get them. That's the text I want to read. I can't read all the chapters. You wouldn't want me to. I can only select this passage I think God's laid on my heart. John 14, beginning, words of encouragement, beginning at verse 16. John 14, verse 16. Now stay with me because we're going to read the whole paragraph. And I will pray the Father. He's going away. And I will, when I get there, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. And that comforter that he may abide with you forever. Who is this comforter? Verse 17. The Spirit of truth. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But he says to his followers, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not, it's a promise, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Look at there. He hadn't got gone yet, and he's talking about coming. Isn't that amazing? I will come to you. Verse 19, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, and because I live, ye shall live also. At that day, ye shall know that, you may not know it yet, but at that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I love him, and we and will manifest myself to him. There's a question, verse 22. Judas said, not Iscariot, Judas said unto him, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word, amazing what Jesus is about to say. The word which ye hear, said, the things you heard out of my mouth. The word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things I have spoken unto you, being present with you. The last verse I'll read is 26. These things I've spoken unto you, being present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. You may be seated. Appreciate you standing as I tried to read the Word of God. Here's what I'm thinking. The whole message hinges on this. The Lord just told them he's going away. He sees the downcast look on their faces. And he's got to say something to uplift them and motivate them and strengthen them and encourage them. So he tells them, I'll take an amen about the Holy Ghost. Amen. The motivator is the Holy Spirit. I may be wrong, but here's what I'm thinking. If the Holy Ghost kept them a-going, he just might keep us a-going. If these words were uplifting to those forlorn disciples, they might be uplifting to us tonight. And so we're just going to examine to what depth, I don't know. What verses will receive the greatest emphasis right now, I have no idea. We're just going to wade into these verses and see how, guess who? The Holy Ghost leads. Amen. As we consider Jesus' great words about the third person of the Trinity. Let me share something with the preachers and with everybody. When you're in this great upper room discourse and you're dealing with a text, where do you start? Where do you end? I mean, it's in my heart. I've had time to preach every verse in chapter 14. But we don't have that time. It would be foolish to try. Folks have work tomorrow. This is not a watch night service. What in the world are you going to do? You got to get a starting place and an ending place. And so many times the Holy Ghost clearly indicates where a paragraph begins and where a paragraph ends. And I do want to show you this. A lot of times he'll drop a little hint. I'm dropping a handkerchief. He'll drop a little hint at the starting place. And he'll go on and talk a while, and he'll drop him another little hint at the ending place. And here's the beauty of it. The hints he drops are often identical. He'll often start and end with either the same words or the same subject, or the same phrase, or the same clause. So many times has this happened in the Bible that those who study the form, the syntax, the structure of Scripture call it, listen to this word, inclusio. What? Inclusio. What does that mean? A little marker there, a little marker there, and everything included between the markers. Inclusio will be on one theme, one subject, one goal, one great thing that needs to be emphasized. Y'all follow what I'm saying? He'll put a key at the back door. He'll put a key at the front door. You can use that key either way and get into that text of Scripture. That's what I'm trying to say. If you don't like the word inclusio, use the word bookends. Use the word parentheses. You mark it anyway. Now you say, Preacher Bagwell, that's well and good, but I didn't see any inclusio. I didn't see any bookends in this text. Look at verse 16. I'll pray the Father, and He'll give you another. Somebody give me that next word. He'll give you another.
Comforter.
Everybody say it.
Comforter.
Verse 16, comforter. Comforter. Why in the world, Brother Bagwell, read all the way down to verse number 26? Don't know. Let's look at 26 and see what it says. But the, would you give me that next word?
Comforter.
All of you together.
Comforter.
But the Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father, look at me. This thing starts with Comforter. It ends with Comforter. It starts with Holy Ghost. It ends with Holy Ghost. And all the way through, it's about the Holy Ghost. Who will motivate me? Who will encourage me? Who will strengthen me? Who will point and guide me? It's God, the Holy Ghost, in this. So that's the context that we're going to look at tonight. Some of y'all look like you're real disappointed. I'm going to preach on the Holy Ghost. I enjoyed preaching on Jesus Monday night a whole lot, and I think I'm going to enjoy preaching on the Holy Ghost Thursday night a whole lot. Verse 16. Well, how's it? Jesus is going away. How's this Holy Ghost going to get here? Verse 16, it'll tell us. He said, I will pray the Father, and He'll give Him to you. All I got to do is pray. When I get home, when I get to Him, sitting there at the right hand of my Father, I'm just going to pray the Father, and He'll give the Holy Ghost to you. I want you to notice the verb pray. It is unique. It is not exclusive to this passage, but it is a rare word for prayer. There is a Greek word for prayer that implies effort and earnestness and sweat and intensity and diligence. Preacher, that's not the word for Jesus praying here. There is a word for prayer that implies thanksgiving and adoration, and that's good, but that's not the word Jesus, is it? This is the word Jesus uses for prayer. And it's not always translated. Pray. It just means this. I will. Hope you'll smile. I'll just suggest. I'll just mention it. I'll just ask Him. Hope y'all will smile at me. And I'm pretty sure He'll do it. Man, when I pray, James says it's the effectual, fervent prayer of a man that availeth me. I'll have to get earnest. I may have to miss some sleep. I might not can eat a meal or two. It is an intense thing praying to God. But when Jesus prays, He don't have to fast. He don't have to go sleepless. All He's got to do is mention it, and He'll get it done. Hallelujah. Remember what He said at the grave of Lazarus in John chapter 11, just before. He said, Lord, I'm going to say this out loud for their benefit. I'm fixing to say, Lazarus, come forth. I know you're going to answer that prayer because you always answer my prayer. Why is the Holy Ghost here? Because God the Father followed the suggestion of God the Son. Hallelujah. Well, I will pray the Father, and He'll give you another comforter. There's so many words here that I'd like to talk about. I'd like to talk about the verb give, but I better not tell. I just want to make this announcement. The Holy Ghost is a gift. You didn't earn Him. He's not for sale. He's not up for the best living. Thank God for the gift of the Spirit of God. Well, Preacher Bagwell, you keep saying Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost. You better get back to your text. It says Comforter. Oh, that's Jesus' pet name for the Holy Spirit. Jesus likes that name for the third person of the Trinity. He's the Comforter. But now, that just brings all kinds of questions to my mind and my heart. What is a Comforter? What is this word that God the Son has chosen and the Holy Ghost is preserved and recorded in our Bibles? What in the world's a Comforter? Listen to it. Many of you know it already, but I just have to share it with you. Paraclete. The word would be parakletos, but it's paraclete. The Holy Ghost is the paraclete. That's the word Comforter. Well, I'd like to know what it means. Listen, it can be easily defined. Para, P-A-R-A. It's a prefix, it's a preposition, and it means alongside. I mean, that's just the definition. Alongside. Paraclete, paraclete, kaleo, that's a verb. Para, kaleo. What in the world is paraclete? Alongside, and kaleo means somebody that's been called, somebody that's been summoned, somebody that's been invited, somebody that's been deputized. I got some good news. If you're here and you're saved tonight, God the Father has invited the Holy Ghost of God. He fell in beside you. He's walking with you everywhere you walk. He will be your strengthener. He will be your guide. Hallelujah for the Holy Ghost tonight. He's the paraclete. He is the comforter. I read something. I tell you where I read it, but I can't recommend everything the man teaches, so I'm just going to leave that. But it is an accurate representation of that word paraclete. See if it sounds like the Holy Ghost to you. Said it was a military term, among other things. Said the troops would be here the night before the big battle. You know good and well some of them not going to come out alive. I mean, we're going up against a set of troops that probably are stronger than we are, the Roman army. And said there, some of them would be upset, some of them would be nervous. They'd be sitting around their campfires thinking about their wives and children, naturally. Said the army always had a man. He was an officer. He'd stand up, probably be the ranking officer in that division. He'd stand up in front of the troops. He'd say, fellas, I'm not going to lie to you. The battle tomorrow's hard. It's difficult. There'll be some of us that won't make it. I said, all I can ask of you is do your best. We may have to lay down our lifeblood for our country. But I'll tell you one thing, and I want you to know it. When we go into the battle, I'll not be way back there behind you. I'll be leading the charge. And I just want you to know something else. We've been given the best weapons. We've been given the best ammunition. Our nation is standing behind us. And I predict tomorrow, if you'll follow my lead, if you'll go where I tell you to go, I just believe we'll get the victory. Hallelujah. Boy, that sounds like a paraclete to me. That sounds like a Holy Ghost of God to me. I sit back there in that little seat by Debbie, my wife, and I get nervous. I'm at Burke County Camp Meeting. I listen to the choir and thank God for their voices. I hear the specials, and I'm scared to death. I'm scared to death walking up here. I was just nervous when he's talking about them CDs. But boy, I've got up here right now, and I do believe the paraclete showed up. There's somebody that says, let's go. Charge. Give us the word of God, if you will. I'm so thankful tonight that we got a comforter. We got a paraclete. Well, let's see, verse 16. I'll pray the Father. And he said, he'll give you another comforter. Did y'all notice that word? Another? Well, I mean, it's just got to be. The language, if the Holy Ghost is another comforter, I reckon that means we done got one. Y'all can talk to him if you want to. If there's going to be another, and the word another, Greek has two words for another. Heteros and allos. Heteros means another of a completely different kind. Allos means another of the same kind. Whoever this other comforter is, he's a lot like the first comforter, thank God. They're two peas in a pod. I got to change that. They're three peas in a pod. Never said that before. The Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, another comforter. I'm glad what Jesus believes, the Holy Ghost believes. I'm glad what Jesus wants to accomplish, the Holy Ghost wants to accomplish. I will send you another comforter. And you know what I'm fixing to say. I'm just of the opinion Jesus is that other comforter. Well, the Holy Ghost is the other comforter with the first one. I just believe it's Jesus. And I know you say, well, I'd like a little scripture to prove that. It's there. Paraclete. Paracletos, the very Greek word. It's translated different. Our King James translators did not render it as comforter, but it's in 1 John chapter 2. If you're saved, you'll smile when you hear it. We have an advocate. We have an advocate with the Father. I'd like to know who it is. Jesus Christ the righteous. By the way, I need to tell you something else about paraclete now. It's not only a military term, it's a legal term too. Well, I'd like to know what paraclete means. It means a lawyer. It means a representative. Y'all aren't getting this. I got me the best lawyer the world's ever seen on retainer in glory at the right hand of the throne of God. The Bible tells me in Revelation 12, the devil is the accuser of the brethren. He'd like to run to God and tell on us, defame us, belittle us every time. And we give him plenty of ammunition to do that with, by the way. And he gets up there accusing us, and my lawyer raises his hand. And my lawyer says to the Father, said, don't worry about it. It's not going to hold. It's a bogus charge. Besides, that fella he's accusing, he's related to us. He's one of the family, glory to God. Aren't you glad we got a lawyer like that? He's a comforter. He's a lawyer, praise God. I just want to say this. My lawyer's never lost a case. Then I'll tell you this, if you'll smile. He's the judge's son also. Now, he didn't lose because he's the judge's son. He lost because of the merits of the case. Jesus' blood washes away all our sin. Another comforter. The Lord Jesus is a comforter. The Holy Ghost is a comforter. Verse 16, that Holy Ghost, he may, and that's not questioning it, it's merely a subjunction, he may, he will abide with you forever. Watch this. Jesus says, I got to go. I'll be dead in a day. Then I'll be raised 3 days after that. I'll appear and manifest myself to some for 40 days. Then I'll stand on the Mount of Olives and ascend up to glory. I will be gone. I'm leaving you. That's God's plan, and I'm going to do it. But he said, when the Holy Ghost gets here, hope I'll get him out. He ain't going to leave you. He will abide with you forever. It is true in Psalm 51, David would pray, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. But I got some good news tonight. You ain't got no worries. The Holy Ghost, if you're saved, he will not leave you. Well, that's verse number 16. We'll go to verse 17. Can you tell me more about the Comforter? Yes. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world can't receive, because it seeth him not, and neither knoweth him. But you know him, that ye is a plural. You know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Here, He is called the Spirit of Truth. 1 John chapter 4, and everybody knows it, talks about the Spirit of Truth and the Spirit of Error. Both exist. But this one, our Savior, has sent back, God the Father sent back the Spirit of Truth. Does anybody here tonight know the Spirit of Truth?
Amen.
Truth, the word for truth, the Greek word for truth, just using my computer. It means this, aletheia, something that if it ever hits you, truth, something that if it ever hits you, I'll need a smile, you'll never get over it.
Amen.
It uses, every lexicon I've seen says it uses the word that means unforgettable. I'm glad one day the Holy Ghost of God branded into my heart, Jesus is God's Son. I'm glad I got branded in my heart, the blood washes away sin. I'm glad I got branded in my heart, the Bible is the Word of God. I'm glad I got branded in my heart, He's a living, literally resurrected Savior. I'm glad I got branded in my heart, He's a coming back again. I'm glad, and once those things are here, you'll never get over them, hallelujah. He is the Spirit of Truth. The world don't see Him. The world don't know Him. But He said, you know Him. You know Him. I want to ask that question again, though your response was good. Does anybody here know the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
Anybody here know the person about whom I speak tonight?
Yes.
You know Him. The verb there. You know Him. There are two ways the Greek New Testament can express knowledge. One is a word that expresses, listen to this, inherent knowledge. Knowledge that I have because God just opened up my heart and poured it in. But that's not the word here. You know the Holy Spirit. You know the. It is the word gnosko. What does it mean? I'll tell you what it means. If you get it, holler amen. If you don't, just sit still. It'll signal to me to explain it in a different way. You know Him. You know the Holy Ghost, gnosko. How do you know Him? Because you read about Him.
Amen.
I need a little better amen. Because you've studied about Him.
Amen.
Because you've analyzed. Hey, I'll tell you something. He's just like that book says He is. He acts like it, He talks like it, He has the character the Word of God ascribes to Him. I'm so glad we know the Holy Ghost tonight. I'm not talking about a stranger in the midst of this fellowship at Burke County. He said, you know Him. You know Him. For He dwelleth with Paraclete. He dwelleth with you. But this is better. And shall be, I'll take an amen, in you. In you. Anybody tonight believe God's living in you?
Amen.
He indwells our bodies, making them into the temple of the Holy Ghost. Are y'all all right?
Amen.
Next verse, 18. Jesus said, I'm going to leave you, but I will not leave you comfortless. Won't leave you comfortless. The verb to leave there, it is a word that means to run off and leave. It means to forsake. It means to absolutely, Jesus says, I'm not forsaking you. I'm not leaving you in an unfortunate situation. I will not leave you comfortless. Now, of course, comfortless and the noun comfort, we had two verses ago. Surely there's some similarity, some parallelism. I will not leave you comfortless. Listen to the word comfortless. It's got to be Greek because we're in the New Testament. Our King James translators worked out of the Textus Receptus. Here's the word. I will not leave you comfortless. Orphanos. Let me spell orphanos. O-R-P-H-A-N-O-S. Orphanos. I will not leave you orphanos. What does it mean? Drop the O-S. You tell me what I spell. It's the English noun O-R-P-H-A-N.
Amen.
I'm going to spell it again. I'm not the world's best speller. I'm beginning to wonder if I misspelled it, if you want to know the truth. O-R-P-H-A-N. Orphan. Orphan. He just said, I'm a-going, but I'm not going to leave you down here like a bunch of little orphans. I will not leave you down here unprotected. I will not leave you down here unprovided. I will not leave you down here all by yourselves. Thank God I'm not an orphan tonight. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. He's come to me. He's loved me. He's taught me. Thank God. Thank God we're not comfortless this day. You say, what do you mean you're not an orphan? I'll say, I got a father in heaven. Can I get an amen? I got born again by the grace of God. I got washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's somebody watching over me, meeting my every need. We're not orphans tonight. But he said this, not only I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. He hadn't got gone yet. And he's saying, I will come to you. Follow me just a minute. And you are listening well. We all know Jesus is coming back at an event called, I say we do, might not be unanimous agreement, at an event called the rapture. Anybody looking for that one?
Amen.
The trump of God, the voice of the archangel, he'll catch us away. And then I'm pretty sure Revelation 19 is going to come back yet again riding a white horse.
Amen.
All the way to earth.
Amen.
His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives.
Amen.
Pretty good amens.
Amen.
But I'm not sure that's what Jesus has in mind here. The rapture or the revelation? I will come to you. He's fixing to leave. The Holy Ghost is going to be sent. And in that context, I will come to you. I'm going to tell you what I believe Jesus is saying. You don't have to accept it. I would not cram it down your throat. I think Jesus is saying, when the Holy Ghost gets here, when the Holy Spirit arrives, see if anybody will amen it, it's just like I had come back. Now, I don't preach that as a second coming. That's not the second coming of Jesus. The rapture, the revelation, they are his return to this earth. But I'm telling you what, I do believe tonight the Holy Ghost is here. Jesus is here also. There could be some argument over that. Somebody say, nope. Holy Ghost different than Jesus, and Jesus is different than the Father. You can't say just because the Holy Ghost come that Jesus has come back. Listen to Jesus. Then John, we don't have time to turn. The disciples said one day, Lord, show us the Father. If you'll do that, it'll make us happy. It'll suffice us. And Jesus said, I don't know what you're going to make. He that hath seen me has seen the Father. I and my Father are one. So I'm just thinking, if Jesus and the Father are one, don't tell me Jesus and the Holy Ghost are not one. If it works that away, it works that away. I'm just going to stand here and say it. I will come to you. I believe Jesus is here tonight through the Holy Ghost. In fact, I don't believe it merely. I can prove it. He said, if two or three of you will gather together in my name, there will I be in the midst. Hallelujah. In the midst. He's here, he's here, he's here. He was here when that choir was singing. He is here when those folks were praising God. He is here when that lady told about getting born again. He's here while I'm trying to preach the word of God. Y'all okay with that? I will come unto you. We got to hurry, don't we? Verse 19. I've been preaching somewhere around 31, 32 minutes. I'm keeping up with it. I don't want to bore you. I don't want to wear you out. But I do want to deal with the text. Go with me if you will. Verse 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Oh, I got to give you that word, see. It is not, there's a little word blepo. You get a glimpse of, you see the image. That's not the word. The word for see here, and I guess you can say it at a Baptist camp meeting, it is the word that gives us theater. Well, I'd sure like to know what that is. The stage, the Greek drama. And it's not a film. It's not a video. You're sitting in a row, and the play's about to be presented, and it implies you can see what's going on this side. You can see what's going on over here. You can see the main stage. You can see into the background. You get the spirit of the host. Jesus said, you're going to see me. You're going to lay your... buddy, when I see him, hope I get a name, it ain't going to be a Polaroid. When I see him, I want to tell you something. It's not going to be a Facebook snapshot. It's going to be the real thing. I'm going to get a panoramic view. I'll get to see him frontwards and backwards and every other way. Aren't you glad we'll see him one of these days? And he says, and if I could just deal with it quickly, the 19th, you see me, and because I live, ye shall live also. I'll get in trouble here, theologically, I'm afraid. Jesus' death on Calvary, Jesus' shed blood, washed away all our sins.
Amen.
But the resurrection is mighty important, too.
Amen.
Thou shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We'd be in effects if he is a dead Savior tonight. Well, I guess, and preachers, if I'm wrong, correct me, I guess we'd all die and go to hell if he wasn't a living Savior. God brought him up from the grave. Because I live, ye shall live also. I got some good news. Pretty sure he's alive. He's not only alive, he's right healthy tonight. He don't have heart trouble. He hadn't got bad eyesight. The Son of God's alive and well, interceding for us at the Father's right hand. And as long as he lives, we're going to live. Hey, if a devil can barnstorm heaven and kill the Savior, we're in the fix. But forget it. It ain't going to happen. He's alive forevermore. We're going to live with him. Truth be told, it's no longer Mike Bagwell living in here anyway. I got eternal life. God's a living in me and through. Because I live, ye shall live also. Verse 20. At that day, now this gets a little bit complex. I don't know if I can deal with it. I think y'all can follow it. At that day, you will know that I'm in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. What in the world? This is the first time Jesus has ever said anything like this. Remember once he said to his disciples, there are many things I'd like to say to you, but you're not able to bear them. Well, he's trying something. Listen, I am in my Father. Let me get it word for word. It's verse 20. I am in my Father, and ye are in me, and I am in you. That is a logical impossibility. We're just going to have to trust this by faith in the Word of God. Jesus is in the Father. And we are in Jesus. I don't know if I can explain that, but that sounds like a mighty safe place to be.
Amen.
Do you realize if the devil's ever going to get me, he's got to get Jesus first? The logic is there. And if he's ever going to get me, he's not only got to get Jesus first, he's got to get the Father before he can get Jesus.
Amen.
Excuse me, I hope you don't think I'm cocky and proud, but I'm a feeling real safe right now. I'm feeling secure in my Savior. It almost makes me want to look at the devil and go, He cannot do a thing. I'm in Jesus. We're in the Father. And if that's not good enough, Jesus turned right around and said, and I am in you also. Clarence Larkin called it reciprocal indwelling. I'm in him and he's in me. Amen. How can that be? I'm in him. Boy, the Lord gave some deep truths in that upper room. How can I be in him and him in me? Quickly. Can I convince you we really are in him? I'm not getting on to you. Not rebuking you. That's the pitifulest amen I ever heard. Can I convince you? Maybe you don't think I can. Can I convince you we are in Jesus tonight? One verse ought to do it. 1 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I'm in Jesus. That, Preacher Lewis, that's the whole theme of Paul's ministry. Listen to this, and I'll not tell you. In Romans, we are justified in Christ. In Corinthians, we are sanctified in Christ. In Galatians, we are at liberty in Christ. In Ephesians, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ. In Philippians, we are joyful in Christ. In Colossians, I need a few more amens. We are complete in Christ. In Thessalonians, I am, thank God, looking for the second coming in Christ. And all the way through the pulling corpus. I'm glad I'm in Jesus, and I'm glad he's in me tonight. By the way, if he is in me, I reckon he did come back. Can you say amen? Verse 21. Oh, this is a good one too. Watch it. He that hath my commandments. I'll read it to you, but let me. Anybody agree? He that hath my commandments. I'm pretty sure that book right there. That book right there contains the commandments of God. I'm not going to find the commandments of God in the Book of Mormon. I'll not find the commandments of God in the Gospel of Judas. I'll find the that book's the commandments of God.
Amen.
In Psalm 119, and y'all well know, it's a synonym for the Word of God, the command. Yeah. All right? He that hath my commandments. Hath, H-A-T-H, he that hath. The verb is echo, E-C-H-O. It's a Greek verb that means this, to have and to hold. To hang on to. It gets right near treasuring and loving it a little bit. Anybody here, and I won't consider you saying anything out of anybody here love the Word of God tonight?
Amen.
Anybody here want to love the Word of God?
Amen.
He that treasures and holds and cherishes, he that hath my commandments.
Amen.
Let's read on. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. Uh-oh. Not only do I love it and treasure it, keepeth, the verb there for keepeth, you'll just say an amen, to obey. It can also mean to preserve. And to go, that Bible's the Word of God. I'm just going to stick with it. I don't care what they do to deconstruct it. I don't care what they do to marginalize it. That's the Word of God to this preacher. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Listen to me. Everybody says they love Jesus, don't love Jesus. If you love Jesus, there'll be some proof that you love Jesus. Well, I'd like to know what one of those proofs are. You'll have his book, you'll treasure his book, you'll love his book, you'll obey his book, and you'll guard his book. He said, that's the crowd I'm looking for. Verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Y'all want to know how to get in good with God the Father? I think that'd be a good idea. I'd like him. I start to say I'd like him to be on my side. Forget that. I want to be on his side. I want his blessing. Well, here's how to get him. He'll love you if you do this. All you got to do is love his boy.
Amen.
That didn't go over good enough. You just got to love his son.
Amen.
His only begotten Son, the one in whom He's well pleased. If you love the Son, the Father will love the daylights out of you. But you ever noticed everybody that loves your little young'un, you just like him a whole lot? I mean, they are good judges of character, aren't they? They're loving your child. Church, and anybody that loves God's boy, God the Father will love them. Amen. Well, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I'll love him and will manifest myself to him. I want every preacher to get this. Everybody else too. But I want my fellow preachers to get it. I love that book. Treasure that book. Obey that book. Guard that book. I'm a loving Jesus. And the Father's a loving me. And Jesus said, I'll haul off and love you too. And then Jesus said, if you're living like that, I think I'll just slap dab manifest myself to you. What does manifest mean? It is a verb that gives us the word, the English word, epiphany. Well, that doesn't help us. We're Baptists. We don't know about no epiphany. What is an epiphany? The room is dark. Might have been a storm. Electricity's off. We're straining to see the text. We're straining to finish up the... And all of a sudden, out yonder, the power company gets the problem solved. I'll take an amen. And the light comes on. That sudden burst of light. Y'all aren't getting it. Here I am struggling with a passage of Scripture. Here I am going through a dry spell in my life. All I know is I take that book. I love that book. I'll obey that book. And while I'm doing that, God's loving me. Jesus is loving me. And there I am in that discouraging time. And God says, mark it down. All of a sudden, I'll flop down right in front of you. I'll cut the light on. I'll give you a brilliant epiphany. I'll show up. I'll encourage you. I'll help you. I'll motivate you to live for me. Has God ever showed up like that in anybody's life? Oh, yes. He'd send them handfuls on purpose. Okay. Verse 22 and 23. I'm at 46 minutes. That's all I'm going to say. No, I'm going to say one more thing. I don't know how it's going to go over. I generally preach an hour. And for those of you that ain't smiling, I generally preach an hour. I go over, I get too tired. If I don't preach an hour, I feel like I hadn't done nothing. So here's the good news. You got 14 minutes to go. So in 14 minutes, I'm going to do my best to try to finish Judas. Verse 22, Judas said, not Iscariot. Judas said, Lord, how is it? Going to manifest, going to cut the light on, brilliant display of your to us and not to the world. Look at it. Here's Jesus' answer, verse 23. He said to him, he answered and said to him, I'd love to talk about that word answer, but we won't. He answered and said to him, if a man will love me, he'll keep my words. Announcement. If you love somebody real good, I mean you really love them, you will listen to what they say. Marriage always breaks down in spirit before it breaks down physically. Before a husband and wife ever split ways and depart materially, physically, there has been an emotional separation to occur first. An emotional separation begins when we quit listening to each other. When we quit considering each other's words and each other's thoughts. I don't know if y'all didn't listen to me. If you love Jesus, you will love His words. You will listen to His words. Let me get back to my verse. He says, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. And my Father will love him. And look at it. Here it is. We will come unto him and make our abode with him. Did that say, I will come to him? Or did it say, we will come to him? And who's he been talking about in this verse? The Father and the Son. Y'all help me now. I'm struggling. This whole chapter said the Holy Ghost lives in here. And you've amened and said you believed. Now I just read a verse and Jesus says, where the Holy Ghost is, I believe I'm going to move down and sort of set up housekeeping myself.
Amen.
That means the Holy Ghost is in here. Dare I say it? And Jesus is in here. And God the Father says, you ain't leaving me up here alone. If the Holy Ghost is living in you, and if the Lord Jesus is living in you, look at the verse. I'm going to come down there, and I'm going to dwell in you too. So I think I'll just stand here tonight without batting an eye and say, if you're washed in the blood on your way to glory, God Almighty's living in your heart tonight. I'll show you something. We, Father and Son, will make our abode with Him. We're in John 14. And I'll try to say this quickly. I'll have to. John 14 starts with this. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. Now, if it wasn't so, I'd have told you. Listen. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. See if you'll amen it. I already got me a place up there. Now, I'm really going to stretch your faith. I believe it's a mansion. King James. Jesus and the Father have prepared me a place up there. They're just waiting for me to come to live in the Father's house. But they're getting a little impatient. And they said that He ain't coming till the rapture. He ain't coming till He dies. I believe we'll just pack up and go down there and live in Him for a while. Do y'all see that? You say, well, now that's stretching it. No, sir. We will abide with Him. That's the same word abide as He's making a place for us. That's the same word abide that is used for a mansion. He's turned us into a mansion. The Godhead's moved in here. You are tonight a bearer of an almighty God who loved you and saved you. If that don't encourage you, you can't be encouraged. We, the Father and the Son, will make our abode with Him. Verse 24. He that loveth me not, of course, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear, everything I've said, Jesus, the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. This is astounding. Let me make one foundation statement. Sometimes preachers preach sermons that are not originally their material. Now, please, y'all act more surprised. I'm going to say that again. We'll borrow material. We'll get ideas and blend it. Jesus Himself has almost made this admission. Everything I said, it wasn't mine. That sermon y'all bragging on, that sermon on the mount, I didn't come up with that. And them words on the Mount of Transfiguration and that great Olivet discourse, I just hate to admit it. I didn't get a bit of it. It all came, hope I'll get an amen, from my Father.
Yeah.
I just preach His sermons. That's all I do. I just say what He said.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be a good idea if some of us preachers took up the same line of thought? I got no business trying to preach a sermon. R.G. Lee preached. He's a great preacher, one of a kind. Nobody will ever fill his shoes. I've got no business trying to preach. So, hey, but I can get with God. I can get on my knees. I can let the Holy Ghost fill me, and I can cut loose preaching. Thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'd tell you about Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. Don't have time. Jesus said, my Father wakes me up every morning. Said, I get out there along with him. He opens up my ear. He whispers words in my ear, words to help those that are weary get along with the day. Said, what my Father tells me that day, I'm going to preach that night. Don't know how that's working, but it's a bubbling over in me. Verse 25. Only going to 26. These things I've spoken unto you, being present with you, but the Comforter, there's the inclusio at the end. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things. He'll bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Here is the Holy Spirit. I got 6 minutes. Here is the Holy Spirit, the teacher. I'd like to make this declaration. He's the greatest teacher who's ever been here.
Amen.
But I have problems with that. And there's some men of God that could help me. I keep thinking, what is it the Holy Ghost going to teach us that Jesus can't teach us? We got 4 Gospels. We'll never plumb the depths of what the Lord himself. What is it the Holy Ghost can teach us apart from our Lord's wonderful, revelatory, didactic preaching ministry? And here's what, this is at least part of the answer. Here's something the Holy Ghost can teach us that Jesus didn't. I hope you'll smile. The book of Acts. Well, you're not smiling a lot. Why can he teach us Acts and Jesus could? Because it hadn't happened yet.
Amen.
When Jesus left. I tell you something else the Holy Ghost can teach us that Jesus didn't teach us. The books of Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd and 3rd, whatever it is, John, 1st and 2nd Peter, and Jude, and Revelation. Did I get through it all right? I think I did. And any of them I left out, put them in too, if they're in the book. Hey! The Holy Ghost is the revelator. He's the teacher of the rest of the Bible. We've got illumination on everything God wrote. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And oh, what a teacher he is. I'm through except for that 26th verse, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. I was preaching one night. And for some reason, and granted, Hagios Pneumatos, Holy Spirit in the King James Bible, Holy Ghost in the King James. Sometimes they felt impressed to translate it Holy Ghost. Same words. And Brother Brandon, sometimes Holy Spirit. We just trust God's leading them and we believe God then. Period. Well, why is it I'd preached that night and I guess I'd used Holy Ghost a whole lot. And there was this brilliant young theologian present. And he came up and rebuked me. Very unkind. For talking about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. He said, think what that brings up in the minds of these kids here. Ghost. I said, that's scary. That's eerie. I said, don't you ever say the Holy Ghost again. Sort of made me want to say, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Right there in his face. Don't you say that again. And so I did a little study, a little reading. Why would God lead them to put Holy Ghost sometimes and Holy Spirit up there? And here's the answer those translators would give us. A spirit is merely the inanimate, the immaterial part of our being. See if you'll agree with me. When your body dies, your spirit is leaving here. I'd like to know where it's going. If you're saved, it's absent from the body and present with the Lord. The spirit. Spirit, that's what spirit means. That immaterial part that's gone. But a ghost in 1600s British life in England, that was somebody's spirit. Indeed, they died. And their spirit went. But if it was a ghost, it meant this. The spirit went and come back. Come back. That's a ghost. Hanging around. A ghost. If you was raised like I was raised, my Grandma Green, we lived not 500 yards from her house. I had the run of the mill at Grandma Green's house. Loved her. She loved her grandboy. Eat cookies anytime she made them. Left the key at the door. I could get in whether she's home or not, right under the mat. I just had a wonderful relationship with my grandmother. But there was one room in Grandma's house to which I was not allowed access. I still don't know what was in it. It was the upper bedroom, and it was the corner closet. And this is what Grandma Green told me. She said, little boys have got no business in that room. She said, I would advise all of them to stay out. And then she said this, there's a ghost that's in that closet. And she said, if you ever open that door, I pity you. That ghost will tear you up. Well, my daddy had tore me up a number of times, and I didn't want no ghost doing it. I stand here, I never opened that closet door. That ghost was somebody who died, who had come back. I don't know if that's going to illustrate it or not. My Savior died. He went away. But I just want to tell you tonight, I do believe he's come back. Amen. And how would you characterize his return? He is the Holy Ghost. Amen. He is the Holy Ghost. Amen. And if you don't mind, I think I'll keep using that old term. Amen. When I'm talking about the presence of God in our lives. I'm through preaching. Finished the end of the text. But I hope something's been... Here's what I'm thinking. If these words encouraged those disciples, and as far as we know, every one of them but John died as martyrs died for their faith. If these words encourage them to live like that, maybe God can use these words tonight to help me leave Burke County Camp Meeting on a Thursday night and go out yonder, get an amen ready, and live for Jesus. Amen. To the glory of God. Here's the goal of this sermon. It's the way Paul ends 2 Corinthians chapter 13. To live in the communion of the Holy Ghost. I want you to leave here tonight being a better friend of the Holy Ghost than when you came. I want you to leave here tonight knowing more about the Holy Ghost than when you came. And I want you to leave here tonight knowing you can have communion with the Holy Ghost of God. It's an old preacher, been dead for really 200 years, I guess. And he said, sometime when you're talking to God, and I'm through, he said, try to discern and say a word to God the Father as you're riding to work. He said, then try to say a word to God the Son. Said he'd like that. He said, then go ahead and try to say something to the Holy Ghost. I've tried that a few times. God the Father, thank you for dying for me, for sending your Son, your idea, you so loved them. And God the Son, thank you for shedding your blood for me. And God the Holy Ghost, thank you for drawing me to the Savior. Amen. The communion of the Holy Ghost. If we'd know Him better, we'd live stronger lives. Amen. Would you stand with us, please, across the congregation? Father, thank you for your word. Speak to our hearts tonight. And may we follow your leadership. Our musicians will play as they have so faithfully done. Nobody looking, nobody staring. Might not be anybody come, but I am going to give you the opportunity.